This episode of FilmSack is brought to you by Audible.com. With more than 100,000 downloadable titles, including books, unabridged, periodicals, and so much more. Get a free audiobook today by going to audiblepodcast.com/FilmSack.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Houston, the Energy City, home of the defending rollerball world champions. This key international battle pits divisional champions visiting Madrid against powerful Houston.
Ears. Now they're important too. This is FilmSack. Oh, sure.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to FilmSack. This is the podcast that mines the very depths of film entertainment for all mankind, episode 172 of FilmSack. My name is Scott Johnson, and I'm joined tonight, today, whatever this is, by Brian, the real future sport, Dunaway.
Oh, Houston, we have a problem. Looks like Moon Pie just took it to the back of the head and turned three. Domo arigato, Mr. Roboto. Yes, may I please have another? Has anyone seen this guy's mom? Because I'm pretty sure he's going to need a juice box? A juice box.
A juice box.
For the rest of his life. Suck him through a straw.
Too soon.
Moonpie.
Nice job. Also, speaking of that, Randy Moonpie Jordan.
Oh, wow. Aloha, Scott. Brian. They always say lead with your best shot, so here goes. I have an old friend who is on an organized roller derby team. I'm serious. He's about 38 years old, and he's been playing roller derby for about 6 years. So after we watched this movie, I messaged him on Facebook, and this is what I said. Didn't you just love that 1975 film? And about 3 seconds later, this was his reply. Negative.
That's awesome. A real life story here at the top of the show. Mm-hmm. Finally with us, Brian, John Houseman has really hairy nostrils, Ibbit.
Oh, there you go, right up them, too. Mm-hmm. Boy, how many hats does Jonathan go through? He gives them to doctors, he throws them into the crowd, he leaves them on futuristic washing machines. Oh, by the way, did I mention we lost the 13th century?
Right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, hey, by the way, we lost the 13th century.
Yeah.
Oh,
we sure
and
did.
And we lost the 13th century.
And we lost it.
I'm just so glad that you have no problem retaining his name when you watch this movie. They remind you of his name. Plenty.
Yeah, I think Jonathan is also a stupid name to chant. You know what I mean? Like it's
Jonathan.
Yeah.
Jonathan.
It just starts to sound real dumb, real quick, and not super epic like
everything else in the movie.
Yeah.
Rocky.
Could have easily been Johnny.
Right.
Oh, that would have been bad.
I would have been all right with Johnny or Billy or Nitro or something cool.
Am I the only? I hope I'm not the only one for whom this movie made me want to watch. Future Sport and
Running Man
and all these other better movies.
Dystopianfilm.com. Yeah. There's a lot of stuff that either was inspired by this or this was inspired from. And I don't know. So we talked last time. I mean, originally our plan was to watch the 2002 one. And for whatever reason, in the wisdom of Netflix, they yanked it from streaming before we had a chance to watch it. And so we said, all right, well, let's revert to the 75 one, which wasn't currently streaming, but now is. Like the day after new Rollerball got pulled, old Rollerball got rolled in, which is really weird.
Got rolled in.
But did anybody here end up seeing both for comparison's sake?
No, I wanted to, but...
Right.
Thank God. No,
well,
seriously. Why?
Because
like,
I hear that between the two, we saw the better one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
No, that is definitely the word on the street.
Was there anything about this film that made you say, I really want to see a remake of this?
Yes.
Right. Yeah, a little bit. There's a couple things about it that I thought that
in the right hands could be done right. Because I'll say this about it. I'll give this to Rollerball. The sport part side of it, and we have some trivia to support this, but the actual sport of Rollerball seemed pretty well thought out. Yeah, like they weren't just dinking around and faking it. Like it felt like they had some rules. They thought a lot about this before going to film. They
I'm gonna agree with you. I wrote down one positive thing about the movie.
Yeah.
And that is that the people making the movie got out and played rollerball.
Yeah.
Like right, there were real motorcycles dragging real people around a real roller rink, and that was
James
awesome.
Caan.
Yeah, James Caan.
Yeah.
Hold on, let me do James Caan. You ready? Here's my impression of James Caan in rollerball. And we'll let Fletcher have his way in a second, but here's what he sounds like to me. Hey everybody, this is James Caan. I'm gonna do some movie here. That's basically it. All right, let's let Fletcher explain. It's Rollerball 1975. Take it away.
Rollerball. In the future, global megacorporations maintain their power by channeling and releasing human hostility through Rollerball, an anything-goes worldwide sport designed to show the forcibly subdued populace that individualism is futile.
Oh, futile. All right.
Futile.
You got that?
Futile.
So,
resistance.
Yeah. George Norman Jewison. I think it's an unfortunate last name. I'm just saying. I just think he took some heat for it, is all. I'm not saying it's a bad name.
Maybe a little bit, yeah.
Any worse than else? Shane Rimmer?
Well, I mean, good. Come on. But so the new movie, it's not really new anymore, but the 2002 version of the film was directed by famed diehard director John McTiernan, which sounds awesome. Like, I think if I had seen this, which I hadn't, I'd only known of it, but had I seen this previously and went, oh, the Die Hard guy's doing a remake of this? That sounds amazing.
Really? Let's be really honest about this movie. It's about on par with Zardoz. If I told you they were remaking Zardoz,
no.
Would you have any interest?
Yeah. This is way
absolutely
better.
I would.
All right.
Yeah,
this is
bad
way
question.
Better than Zardoz.
Yeah, this I would. I'm with Dunaway on this. There's no way this is as bad as Zardoz.
As movie skills go, isn't some really good shots and some pretty decent character development and fun. I think it's all right. It's not Zardoz.
One thing that McTiernan got right, and again, I still haven't seen the new one, but just looking at the comparison of the two, the new one is about 30 minutes shorter.
And more action, way more action in the new one.
Right, exactly.
We're talking about Chris Klein and LL Cool J, you know. Yes. Mama said knock you out.
Hanging out.
Romaine lettuce.
So it's got people in it that actually look like athletes is what you're saying.
Right. Yeah, that is okay. That's an interesting point. I wanted to make note of that, actually. Yeah. There is a weird thing in older movies where somebody is supposed to be depicted as super athletic where they don't look that way at all.
I thought he kind of looked like an athlete from like the 70s. I mean, it was much more common for people to...
Oh, he looked like a baseball player.
Sure.
Right.
No, but
these guys should have... They should have looked like... They should have looked like lacrosse players. They should have had a lot more muscle and a lot less mustache.
And there were a couple of guys in the gym there, you know, in the little after game stuff with some sagging bits and some weird boobs and, you know.
I was uncomfortable in the changing room, man. I'll tell you what.
Yeah, got a little
James Caan getting that back rub while talking to John Houseman. Mm-hmm. That was
right. Yeah.
Little bit of man wiener in the shower, just a little bit. Was looking for that. Got it.
Man wiener.
Man wiener.
Haven't seen that much man wiener since Starship Troopers.
Yeah. It really is a fact nowadays that you only get female nudity. It's like really rare that you see this kind
when
of
you
thing.
Do, it's like some
weird looking.
Totally. But there's a whole, I think there's a whole, the only time you get the wiener man, the man wiener in today's films is when it's supposed to be like, look at us, we're raunchy, rated R comedy, really pushing the boundaries here. Check it out. That's like, what's his name? I forget his name.
Oh, is it sideways?
Dude walking around with his wiener, walking around openly with his wiener out. That, whoo, look at the shock value. Like, that's how they do it.
Kevin Bacon.
yeah, Keitel.
Remember sideways when, what's his name, come flying out there? Yes. MC Gainey came flying out with his penis a wagon everywhere.
That is the funniest damn scene in so many movies. He and his wife are making love to a John Ashcroft or something, like some. Yeah. Some, you know, right winger is on the TV and dude, Giamatti's sneaking in trying to steal his wallet back.
I still haven't seen that movie. God, every time I hear so about funny. It, it sounds like something
it's
I should
not
say.
Not even his wallet. He's stealing Thomas Hayden Church's wallet.
Three named guy.
Seriously.
I call him Dumb Wings guy. I call him Wings Woody, by the way.
watch Sideways, man. The way they depict that is MC Gainey is naked chasing him out of his house. And Paul Giamatti gets into this Saab 900, and MC Gainey collides with the window. I should say MC Gainey's junk collides with the window.
I don't want to see that. Yeah. So awesome.
But you got to see it.
Hello, Mr. Friendly.
Is that where he got his Mr. Friendly name? from Lost? Gross, dude. Oh, man. Not interested in seeing that, but I'll see that movie. I'm not a fan of the man wiener in films. I don't know why. I find it not offensive. I find it reminiscent and a reminder of how gnarly men look. We just look right. gross.
Right. Like, you can't exactly. This is one of those double standard things that I know does not apply to women. I know women aren't as repulsed by seeing naked women on film right. as I am by seeing naked men on film.
Yeah. There's a reason we colloquially refer to it as junk.
Right.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. Let me make you uncomfortable for a minute. Let me ask this question. Okay. You got to see a naked dude. I mean, it's going to happen regardless. Sure. Okay. Sure. Get that behind you. All sure. right. Mm-hmm. Naked dude on screen.
Failure to hairy, launch.
Hairy or hairless?
Oh, gross. Which, all right.
What do you want to see?
Oh, interesting. All right. So you know what offended me not much was the
what?
What do you call it? The I can't think of the stupid thing.
Offended
Hold on.
Me not much.
What's the comic book remake with the big blue man?
Oh, Watchmen.
Watchmen, jeez.
Watchmen. Yeah.
His
guy jumped.
Super bald blue wiener.
Yeah, his big blue wiener didn't offend me that much. It was fine. Maybe
that's cartoon though. I mean, that's,
well, it was right. really well done though. Like that thing was like super like high fidelity.
It was the most
wiener.
Beautiful blue penis I've ever seen.
I think probably Ken Leong's wiener in the first Hangover movie is probably.
that happened. See, I still haven't seen Hangover.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
Oh, Frank and Beans.
Super hairy and super small is the way I want to see my man wiener on film.
I'm going to answer the question honestly. Honestly, I say hairy. And I ask you, gentlemen, have you seen Orange is the New Black?
Yes.
No, two episodes, that's it.
All right. Yeah. There. We were talking about Liev Schreiber a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
His stepbrother is in this movie. His half-brother is in this movie.
What's his name?
In this TV show, his name is Pablo Schreiber.
Oh, really?
he plays the evil guard, the porn stash guard.
Oh, that guy. Yeah. He's on. Yeah. I didn't know he was related to him at all, but he's great.
And there's a scene where one of the suits in the prison asks him to give a comment on the mustache. Like, is my mustache manly? Are mustaches in general, or are they like gay? And Pablo Schreiber's character just says some things in that moment that are hysterical.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And I have to reflect on that. You definitely want to see it, Harry.
Okay.
That's the answer.
Okay. Wow. Well, I'll not forget that soon.
Interesting.
So, John Houseman, for those not familiar, he's the voice of those commercials for all those years.
Right, right. That's how we remember him.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Which was worth it, or what was the line?
I'm fancy. I'm fancy, fancy.
Yeah, that was it. Those were his lines.
He was one of the guys in the Greg Poupon commercials. He was one of the two.
Was he really?
Do you have any Greg Poupon?
He might have been. He might have been.
I don't know whether he was the asker or the answerer.
Well, I know he was, so maybe that for sure. What was the thing? What was the name? What? Huh?
It was the White Shadow or the.
Right. He did the McDonald's ones. Remember those?
No.
1980s?
No. No. But I'll take your word for that.
To die from fries.
Wasn't he not, or was he or was he not the butler on the.
Paper Chase. That was it.
was he the butler in those Dudley Moore movies? The Arthur
movies?
No. He
was not.
No. Yeah. Okay, why am I thinking? Oh, I know who I'm thinking of.
Thinking of the Smith Barney commercials.
That's the one.
Yeah,
Smith Barney.
Yeah, we don't make money; we earn it.
So he's the big mega corporation, the energy corporation. That's so stupid.
Man, I tell you, that was stupid. But man, I want to see the corporate wars. I want to see that as a movie.
This was another movie where you feel like they start after the good part. Like,
yeah,
right.
Why
exactly.
We're now watching sort of the downfall of everything.
Yeah.
And right. I wanted to see the rise of the corporations.
I feel like video games have done the best job at trying to document what it would be like for the rise of corporations and the downfall of standard people-led government or representative government. I think those games tend to, because you can kind of do these little episodic moments and story beats throughout while you're in between shooting people. You can get chunks of things, but I don't feel like a movie has ever Now, someone's going to correct us and give a good example, but I can't think of a movie where they've really done that very well.
Right.
And that's too bad because lots of books do it well. There are a lot of comic books that do it well. There's no reason somebody couldn't do this well. I just think people are scared of it because it sounds kind of boring on the surface.
And this movie was kind of boring.
It was way boring.
You can say that again.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. It was, but it was kind of a character study. So what you gonna do? That's just
it was literally like this. This movie was literally this. It was start strong with a match. Let's have a ring. Let's go straight into it. Ooh, interesting looking sport. This is kind of rough. I can see they're like actually adhering to some rules here. This is kind of interesting. Right. And then nothing but for like an hour.
Oh, it's basically James Caan walking around going, I wonder why they want to kick me out of sport. I wonder why they want me to retire. I'm going to find out why they want me to retire. Oh, does anybody know why they want me to retire?
Why won't they let me have my wife back? I want my wife back.
He's doing it in that voice too, which is the worst.
It was.
I mean, today he's like, hey, what are you doing, everybody? Like, he's super low and gravelly now, but back then he was like,
You couldn't hear him. Okay, first of all, Netflix had...
They had
way low audio on this one.
Yeah, big time. I had to crank everything up.
Except during the games. Then if you had cranked it up to hear the dialogue, all of a sudden, the screaming and the sports are going super loud.
Yeah, it's just bad sound engineering and mixing. But I will say, once again, I was surprised by the quality of the video on Netflix. I think that looked great.
Mm-hmm.
And even though everyone's wearing real bad jumpsuits and those mustaches Randy mentioned and just bad sets
you know what sounded good, the Bach and the Tchaikovsky and the Shostakovich, like, I really want to watch this movie when I'm having insomnia and I need to go to sleep, and I'm going to put on Japan's national anthem, whatever it is now,
oh my gosh.
Shostakovich music.
Yeah.
Right. It was it was too much pandering to the actual game itself. They could have made this movie a lot shorter if they haven't tried to make us feel like that was a real sport. I appreciate what they did, but I really felt like they dwelled on it too much. I'm like, I don't need to know every nuance. You don't need to tell me 30 times that, remember, we're not doing the rules this time.
Yeah,
yeah, we have to hold the ball in plain sight.
Yeah, there was a lot of that. But the games, again, were the most exciting part of the movie, and I felt like the biggest problem came in when it was trying too hard to be Stanley Kubrick and do weird Kubrick things. Having people out shooting trees and laying around in their suits and just hemming and hawing about reruns, and like that was so Kubrick. And the director said, DVD commentary, that Kubrick was his biggest inspiration ever, and his movies all often reflect this stuff. But this is the guy who goes on. I mean, imagine this director. He goes on to direct Moonstruck, of all things.
Right.
Which was a huge hit commercially and critically. It won Cher Best Actress. I think it won Nick Cage another nomination. What's her name? Old lady won Best Supporting Actress. I forget her name. She's great, though, in that white-haired
old lady.
What's her name? Old lady's great, right? But so, you know, it shows the guy had some chops, but I felt like there was a weird attempt here to do two things at once. One was to say sports, and it felt like Slapshot, you know? And then it was like, all right, sports is done. Now it's going to be like everything Kubrick made and nothing makes any damn sense. The worst part of AI, the bad part of that to Tom Cruise, Nicole Kidman, everyone's naked movie.
Oh, like, that was so much of
Eyes
that.
Eyes wide shut. Oh my gosh. I've never been a woman, but it made me want to wear a drapey dress. That's all I'm saying.
Like,
apparently in the future, you're going to be required to wear a drapey dress. I'm ready for it.
Yeah. I wouldn't mind wearing, I would not mind seriously having one of those James Caan polyester jumpsuits that don't apparently have any buttons once you get past the belly button.
You look like the onesies.
Where I've tried to convince Scott Johnson to do something at Nerdtacular next year, and this movie is where I got this. And please take some time and think about this. Can we please have 70s night at Nerdtacular?
Oh, that'd be fun, wouldn't it? Can we make the AV awesome. Look like the wood panel and the 12 screen thing he had going on there?
the multi views.
We ask same-sex Mary to come play and to do 70s stuff.
Yeah.
They have a year to work on it. The only deal to get into the ballroom is you have to be dressed like you're in the 70s.
Bell-bottoms, jumpsuits.
Just watch this movie for inspiration. There's so
drapey dresses, burns, whatever, man. Yeah, I think that sounds like a bit of fun. And I don't mind a nice injection of 70s, whatever. I don't even mind the zoom ins. Like, this movie had plenty of the zoom ins, yeah. Right?
Yes.
I just had a problem with the change of tone from sports to totally out there. And also a little Hunger Games thrown in there. Like, these people are like those
this
weird.
This movie still stole from Hunger Games?
Big time. I mean, all the people that are the rich people in Hunger Games, the well-to-dos, they all look like various versions of like Tim Burton nightmares, right? Like, they're all just blah with weird colors and stuff. That wasn't really happening here. These were normal looking hoity-toity people, but they were all eating those like drug mints. And like just hovering around each other. They can't get enough of this violent culture that's going on in Rollerball. That stuff has, I guess what I'm leading to is all of that stuff has potential. And I think a true, straight up good remake is not a terrible idea. I just don't think anyone's up to the task of doing this thing that I was talking about, which is really explore those themes in a way that is exciting and compelling on screen.
Right. And to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Randy.
I was just going to say it wanted to be a Robert Heinlein book, and it didn't have a character standing around telling you about the history of nations and stuff.
Yeah. Or go ahead, Brian.
In my memory of what Rollerball was, I remember it being this outrageous, just this crazy outrageous movie about the sport. And I was really kind of disappointed when it was more than that, because I was looking for something stupid and a good time that was just silly. And instead, what I got was a very serious, you know, study.
Overly serious. No, right? But nobody's having any fun. The most fun they had is when they were tripping each other and goofing off during the training.
Yeah, right.
Which, again, I thought that stuff sounded authentic. And and he even, like, that's the best acting in the film when he's just talking about the sport and he's explaining how it works and how you guys got to play. Like, I feel like I'm listening to a real sport. Was it on this show or a different show where we talked about whether or not a new sport could ever be started? It was on here, right?
Yeah, and we need to talk about that some more.
So is this proof of a thing that could be? I mean, nobody's into rollerball anymore.
Roller derby's been a resuscitation of roller derby over the last decade.
Oh, I know. There's like seven or eight teams just here in the Salt Lake area that all compete, and there's some regional playoff things.
Give me some names.
There's
Houston,
stuff. Crap. There's
what they got?
We got the Denver roller dolls.
Roller dolls? Awesome.
Yeah. Yes. And they do the same, you know, it's the whole thing like the, like Whip It with the whole, you know, all their names are Cindy Crash.
Great movie, by the way.
But aren't these all, but again, they're just kind of, aren't they doing this all ironically? They're just kind of laughing at themselves?
No. They take it very seriously. Tina works with someone who does it in her off hours, and they take it very seriously. I mean, it's, you know, it's done for entertainment. They've got to be out there. It's got to be enough to bring in a crowd.
Right.
But
because
when
no
they're
one
playing,
can ever explain the rules to me when I ask them, what's the rule for roller derby? Well, you have a good time and you act silly.
And if you elbow
somebody in the face, it rocks. Right. You got to pass people, but it's
thing on the helmet has to go through the whole crowd, the pack twice. Like, she starts in the pack, she has to lap around and then pass through that cluster of people.
Got a funny email from a guy named Kenton who says we already know what the future sport will be. It's something nobody plays now. It's something nobody watches now, and it's something nobody respects now. And in the future, it'll be the hot new sport. And I said, what? And he said, he wrote back and said, hockey.
Nice story.
But it's not a bad point. Like, hockey's relative unpopularity everywhere but Canada and some northern states and a few other places that are kind of hardcore about it, compared to other big sports, I mean. So don't get your panties in a bunch out there, hockey fans. I like hockey too. I do. I like to go see the Grizzlies here play with the two Z's in their names. Point being, maybe it's already here. The thing that creates the biggest buzz, the Super Bowl level stuff, or the World Series level stuff, maybe hockey is it. Because hockey has all the ingredients. It has the violence, the fighting. It has the skates. Because it always seems like anybody's idea of a future sport is on damn skates or hoverboards.
Yeah, right.
So we've already got all of that. Giant pads, fanatic fans.
There's so much you can do with feet. You know, we've covered, if there's a game that can be done on foot, we've already come up with it and we've already done it.
Right. I mean, the next bet, in my mind, when I was a kid, I used to imagine, I thought foosball was based on something, not just, I mean, I know it's based on like soccer and stuff, but I thought foosball was like Are there people somewhere that are like hanging on to giant rods?
Dude, how awesome. Great. Would that
I love
be?
That.
So that is your
would
future
be the
sport.
Greatest thing ever, yes.
Yeah. Medieval game.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind that. Right.
In Austin, there are 5 women's teams that collectively refer to themselves as the Texas Roller Girls. Their names are the Hail Marys, the Honky Tonk Heartbreakers, the Hot Rod Honeys, the Hustlers, and the Texecutioners. Like, they couldn't come up with a 5th name that starts with
like
H.
That one.
Oh,
that's just
funny.
That's just really sad to me.
Okay, so
but that's one of the best ones is the Texecutioners.
So the league here is called the Wasatch Roller Derby, named after the Wasatch Mountains, of course. There are, let's see, I'm just trying to find some team names. Be a team. Okay, here we go. The Midnight Terror, the Rockettes, Uinta Madness, the Hot Wheels, the Black Diamond, and there's a hottie on there, the Bonneville Bone Crushers, and the Salt Flat Flatouts. Anyway, that's great.
We've got, just to kind of close this out, we've got Doomsdaisies, the Red Riding Hoods, the Sugar,
that's the
Sugar
one.
Killer Gang, the United States Pummeling Service, the Contenders, the Bruising Attitude Fight Club, the Mile High Club.
Great.
And did I already say Doomsdaisy? I did say Doomsdaisy. So there's our eight.
But is there a body of like overseers and rule makers for these leagues?
It's called the World Federation of Roller Derby or
WFTDA.
TDA. Yeah. There's an actual governing body, and all these teams from these different towns go and play each other. They go, you know, the Austin crew goes to Houston and plays some team from there. Hmm.
Well, it's interesting because I think rollerball plays off the idea that at the time roller derby seemed like a new hot thing. And now we are watching this going, man, that is old. Look at all their Atari logos on their backs and all this stuff.
Oh, that font was awesome.
The font was great. And then now with it making a comeback, it's, I don't know, to me, it's kind of like disco's coming back or in a way, like it's definitely a callback to an older thing that everybody kind of wrote off as gimmicky and dumb. So that, in turn, it goes back to our conversation a couple of weeks ago, gives me hope for arena football making a big comeback again.
Right.
No.
XFL.
No.
I love that stuff.
XFL. Now, see, between the two, between arena football and XFL, I thought that XFL had the most potential to kind of be that crossover that kind of borrows maybe a little bit from American Gladiators and
because I felt like the arena football was just basically saying we don't really have enough room for regular football, so we're gonna put an arena and basically play the same.
Well, it's the equivalent of kickball where you keep kicking the ball outside the fenced area and somebody has to keep going over and getting it and slows things down.
That was no fun when I was 12 and it's no fun now.
I loved kickball. Oh, I loved kickball so much.
Well, the running and getting the ball part sucked. But that was true. We'd have little baseball games. The same thing would happen there. I hated that. But go ahead.
This was called Rollerball Murder, and when it was originally came out, the short story.
Rollerball Murder.
Yeah, Rollerball.
Yeah, the
I guess I guess referring to the murder of the John
the murder
Holmes
parts.
Guy.
Yeah, the murder parts. Yeah. The every oh my gosh,
a lot of murders. So,
oh my! And the best, most spectacular murder was Moon Pie's brainwave damage that happened. That was
you're talking about John Holmes.
Yeah, when he took his helmet off and punched him in the back of the head and his brainwaves fell out on the thing. And
by the way, he's today's biggest Star Trek connection. That guy's been in a ton of Star Trek.
That was the least meaningful death I've ever seen in film. I had no idea.
The more fun one was, though, the guy who got strategically put in the path of the... Because the way the ball's launched, for those who didn't see the movie, the ball's launched like a big roulette wheel in Vegas.
Like a pinball machine.
Yeah. It's like... Yes. And it rings around the outside until it starts to fall in, and people are going, come on, red 52.
Right.
And then it finally comes down, and then somebody scoops it up with a mitt, and they, you know, whoever got that is kind of a...
It's always the guy behind you who ends up getting it. You're going for the ball.
Yeah.
But a guy from behind you swoops around you at the last second and gets the ball every time.
Which, again, is kind of cool because it looked like a sport to me. Like, here are the strategies. Here are the things you do to try to, you know, when the ball gets – when there's a tip-off in a basketball game, there's about 5 things you want to do. And I like that they're – even though they really just showed kind of one in the case you're talking about, it did feel like this is a sport. Like these guys are playing by a set of rules. The rules are getting changed, but still there are rules there. There's strategery going on. Like having motorcycles out there is the craziest part of it. But even that kind of had some sense to it when he's talking about how to block a motorcycle and not be thrown off by one. Like all that stuff was interesting to me. Mm-hmm. The game of Rollerball was so realistic that according to various sources, the cast, extras, and stunt personnel, they're being called here, played it between takes on the set. So any chance they got, they were like, all right, let's get a game in,
Why
man.
Why wouldn't you? You know
you got
what I mean?
All the equipment.
Yeah.
You got everything there.
Yeah,
right. You know, we're gonna be off over here for a few hours shooting some James Caan mumble scenes, and this is gonna be the scenes where he asks why he's getting forced to be retired. So you guys pretty much have the whole run of the court for the next 6 hours.
All right, I'm gonna go ride a motorcycle around a roller rink. See ya.
Exactly.
Pull me around on my roller skates.
Yeah,
that sounds like fun.
Director also said on the commentary track that using classical music in a science fiction film, as was the case here and in 2001, A Space Odyssey, reduces the tendency for a film to become dated over time. I would argue that there are plenty of other dating parts.
Reduces the tendency for you to have to pay royalties.
Here's a couple of good examples of movies that use classical music that totally seem dated. Rollerball and 2001, A Space Odyssey.
Yeah.
Right?
Interesting. Or Bad News Bears. How about that one? That one's a little dated.
You know what's not ever dated? Organ music at a sporting event.
Meep, meep, right. Meep, meep, like that.
Yeah, exactly. If only they'd done that. Why didn't they do more of that?
Yeah, right. That's probably trademarked.
Controller is now testing his computerized equipment.
Yeah.
That doesn't sound dated.
Not at all. And all the computers were terrible. Only this party sequence contained contemporary 70s music with analog synthesized stuff like we're used to hearing in these movies from that era.
And sex dances.
By the way, Tuffy, guy was getting trained or getting kind of schooled during the training part. I didn't do much other than that. He was kind of sleeping during the conversation. He was in Face Off, so a little film set connection for him. Does stunts for every damn thing ever made.
Was he John Travolta?
No, he was in the movie as one of the agents, though. Worked in the Travolta's office there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which is kind of cool. The remake enjoys a nice fat 3% on Rotten Tomatoes, while this film is like in the high 60s. So,
film has no business in the high 60s.
How bad can that remake be?
It's brutal. Pretty bad.
Well, I mean, you would have to, I mean, obviously the way Rotten Tomatoes works for a movie this old, when this didn't exist, they have to go back and collect reviews from the time.
That's funny.
I think the standards were different, you know, of what people would accept in their dystopian sci-fi, whatever. Star Wars had not come out. Like,
Is that how that works? I mean, do they go back and get the reviews from then, or they just go with modern reviews for people who...
No, they do. I know there's sometimes a bit of both of that, but if you go back and look at those, they're taken from paper articles that are now published online and stuff.
The deal is they have an approved critics list.
Yeah.
And some of the critics are old as dirt and actually had reviews written back in the day. Seriously, that's how that's how that works out.
Like, I'm sure Ebert had a review of this movie. I'm sure he did.
Right.
At some point. Let's see.
I got a question. Every time we talk about a dystopia future.
Yeah.
Do we have any disotropes?
Disotropes?
Yeah, disotropes.
We don't really have disotropes, but you're right. They're in here. They have a lot of them. Big corporations take over everything, probably the biggest trope.
Right. People always dance weird in the future.
Right, little 70s parties. Or the way they shake hands, like
they're like exchanging
brushing their hands. Yeah.
Well, I don't like those people. I didn't like any of those people at all.
No.
Like, especially the shooting trees people. I just wanted to kill every one of them. I kept hoping, that drunk lady, she's drunk on Altoids. I'm hoping she'll turn around and, like, spray everybody with laser dust or whatever and kill them all.
Can I give you my favorite dystopian future trope? I think it should just be called, oh, look, it's Hal. That's what that trope should be called. It's Hal.
Oh, liquid computer Hal, yeah.
Hal is in every dystopian movie. Yep. Yeah. In this particular one, he was commissioned to save memories, like to save the history of humanity.
Mm-hmm. Negative.
And like it's just Hal.
All except for the 13th century. Did I mention we lost the 13th century?
Yeah.
Yes, you did. Yes, thank you. We got it.
You did mention that. It was pretty good. Yeah, that computer sucked. I didn't like that at all because I don't like movies that treat computers like mysterious, omnipotent beings.
Right.
Water
with
cooled.
Bubble, yes, water right. Bubbling.
Yeah, that wasn't. They weren't even claiming that was to cool it. It was how right. Data was being moved around because right. Nobody mm-hmm. knew shit about nothing. And they're in the, you know, they're at the data. I think there's one of these big data banks in Virginia. Data bank? Oh, you
we
mean a place
scan
with
in your books.
Reel-to-reel
I'm not
tape?
A librarian.
I mean, look, I understand. It's a time thing. It's, you know, we know a lot more now. We're saying things in movies now about tech that will look dumb in 20 years.
Oh, without a doubt. Yeah. Like, Oblivion is going to look so freaking ridiculous in 20 years.
Of course it will.
You know, I'm
no
curious
doubt.
To see what people think of I hate to bring up Minority Report, but the whole, you know,
me too.
Optic,
floating in a pool.
TV screens while the
pebble that is produced and rolls down a track.
Well, there's that.
We've been given a lot of heat to the psychics on the morning show, and somebody said to me something about Minority Report, and I said, "Look, yet you like Minority Report," as if that was some kind of comeback. And I said, "Look, I like my future predictions coming from three people soaking in a tub and a wooden ball." And I stand by that.
And you know what? Minority Report is one of the first, but there's been a huge string of modern films where everybody's predicting that your operating system is going to get out up in your face and you're going to control it with your bare hands.
There's been a ton
of those movies. And that it just isn't happening. It's not happening.
Right.
Something about a mouse.
Microsoft.
Give me my Leap Motion, my Oculus Rift. Put those two things together, and I'm doing
this
it.
It's not happening. We're not doing it right now. Throwing a display in 3D and hologram up in your face. It's not happening.
Excellent. All right. Well, fair enough. Let's keep this ball rolling. Speaking of rollerball, a couple things I noticed. Oh, here's your trope. 70 Zoom alive and well. I don't know why that was happening all the time, why that decade is so famous for it, but that was just so stupid. I don't like it. Also, if this was a real sport, here's one knock against the authenticity of the sport. Mm-hmm. I think that people would get real tired of watching. Well, I say this, but NASCAR is a big thing, right? But watching a group of people on skates or otherwise go around in the same circle all night long in the same direction. I don't see how that's fun.
Have you watched any of the Summer Olympics?
Right.
Well, and that's, but the thing is, I actually said this to myself after watching this movie, rollerball or whatever you want to call murder in this thing. This sport is just like the Summer Olympics. I can only handle it about once every 4 years.
Right.
All right, Brian's about to tell us something, but I'm not going to let him just yet because I need to pop in here and talk to you about Audible.com. I love Audible. I ran, 2.1 miles today, this morning. And what did I have in my ears? Why, an audiobook from Audible.com. It's all about the sci-fi and fantasy section. And there's so much in there. My gosh. Anything you want, just go get it. All that Game of Thrones business, right there, right at your fingertips. Why not go and get yourself some ear loving happening at audible.com. Here's the best part. As always, they give you a chance to get a free audiobook. How do they do it? They give you a code. How does that code work? Like this. You go to audiblepodcast.com. That's the domain. audiblepodcast.com/filmsack. Just put filmsack on the end of that. Boom, you're in. You can get a free audiobook of your choice, no matter what genre you're into. Just get what you want. Get them how you want. And I know you're going to love it. I do. That's audiblepodcast.com/filmsack. Do it today.
I'll tell you this. This is the way they shot this. They showed very few times where you watching the whole ring, for that matter. And it was like they had to have this weird timing where you would have characters who would like kind of hang out in one area of the rink. And I'm like, that would look so weird if you were watching the full thing and you got three dudes over there making up gang plans to come and gank somebody when they come by, rip their head off, their helmet off, and punch them in the back of the head.
You'd see the three guys, you know, hop up to the goal and be like, hop, 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 hop.
Well, it would be the nuance of the game. Like, it's this way with, I'm sure that's this way with people who love NASCAR. They see these subtle nuances that I just don't see them. I just see people going in a circle. Oh, that guy bumped in front.
The head punches.
Yeah. He just got in front. Oh, what an ass. You know, but this would probably have, I mean, again, it's the movie's biggest strength, I think, even though some of it's kind of dumb. It's like, all right, you guys really took your time doing that. Now maybe spend a little bit of your time and your money and your effort and your directorial skills
And your budget for actors.
Yeah. And make all that work somehow. Because that was the worst part of the movie. And I was bored through most of that. It's like, boredy, boredy, bored. He's hanging around at his house with that freaking slut of the moment, whoever the corporation would provide for him.
No, it's concubine.
Concubine. Yes. And I just kind of go, all right, when's this going to end? When are we done with this? Oh, he's going to go talk to Cletus for a half an hour about how it used to be and spar with him a little bit. Oh, I'm boring. God. Just boring.
You know, and they did a disotrope with the whole visual element in the future. Whenever you have
called it my scrote.
Right. Whenever you have a relationship that went wrong, you conveniently always have these loop footages of this person right. in these
Remember
intimate
when
moments.
We went
Who's
on that
filming?
Picnic? Yeah.
It's the weirdest thing. They did it in Minority Report too, and I was like, "That's so freaking weird. What is this? It's not home movies. Right. It's yeah. like, who filmed this?"
Yeah, that's true. And when they were. I also had one of these moments of clarity when they were talking about they were at that library trying to get that lady to show them books.
Right.
And she's like,
the 70s hottie.
She's like, oh, well, yeah, all the books are compiled at something, something. And that's where they're all being transcribed or whatever. And I'm in my head, I'm going, hey, this is what Google did. Like Google yeah. literally did what they're talking about right now, except yeah. they don't know what the hell they're talking about. And so there was a moment there where I was like, all right, you guys got that one right, I guess. Here's another good one. This was a day, 1975, when it was not a problem to just go ahead and refer to any Asian people as little short guys constantly.
Oh, my gosh. I love it. It was so horrible.
I like how they roll in formation, too, when they're coming around with
their
fists out. Grip.
Yes. Yeah, that was stupid.
That was awesome. No, that was awesome.
No, it wasn't.
Isn't that more of a China thing? Isn't that like Red China where they all go in at the same time? That's not really a Japanese military thing, is it, where they kind of all march in order and all this other stuff. I don't know.
I think it's all hokey malokey. Like all that stuff's complete crap. And every
I
time
want concessions.
And I remember as a kid though too, this feeling that the big difference between us, culturally, the big difference of thing between Americans and Asians where they were short. Like there was none of these things that, oh, they're good at math or they make everything over there or any of those tropes didn't exist really. It was, they are short.
And they weren't that short when they showed them. When they showed up, they were actually must have had the tallest.
And their mustaches were just as bad.
Yeah. So bad.
And maybe worse. And they all looked out of shape too. And they wore glasses you wouldn't wear anywhere.
Oh, that guy. Do any of y'all remember that amazing picture of the Bin Laden family in the 70s?
Yeah.
Where they're all just dressed like 70s people.
Yeah.
And you realize. This hokey trend in clothing and hairstyles was everywhere in the world.
National.
Every place where anybody had a television, they all looked like this.
They were all dressed like 70s people. That's awesome. Right. I love the way you said that. I think, you know, it was one of those movies you always say, this movie could have used cell phones. This is a movie that could have used rollerblades. I feel like I feel like skates were not your best choice for a sport like this. I know they did. I guess those didn't exist yet or whatever.
They didn't have any idea that was where it was going, which is weird because roller blades are so much faster than.
Oh, I'm about to say, don't get in that war.
Yeah, those people eat you up.
But at the same time, when you look at roller derby, most everybody's on four wheels because it's stable.
Stable.
Yeah. Right.
But I just love that idea that we're going to try to make the future look like the future. Mm-hmm. So we're going to show you the BMW headquarters. That's a trope, right?
Yeah, like, I give that trope status.
Like Caprica, filming on the campus of Simon Fraser University just because it looks weird.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, find a good futuristic-looking building and then just park in front of it for a two-minute dialogue where you don't see the actors talking. You just hear them while you're looking at this bowl building.
Yeah.
Yeah, that BMW headquarters apparently used to have grass around it. Now it's just it's all like a parking lot.
Oh, it's not even there anymore?
No, the building's there.
Oh.
That it's surrounded by steel and concrete and hardtop, and it's not surrounded by trees and grass like it used to be.
Well, I can tell you what that Tokyo Stadium could have used, a little better air conditioning in the future. Holy crap, right. Everyone's fanning sweating. Everybody. Oh, it's so hot. All those Japanese people, everyone with a program going –
God, it's
waving their face.
Tell the corporations to spend some money on some air conditioning.
Yeah. And all I can think about too is this isn't the whole population. Like I know these movies are basically they're gladiator stories, really.
Right. Turned out to be.
Yeah, it's like, oh, what does humanity do when it's too opulent? Well, the rich watch the less or the disenfranchised beat the shit out of each other and kill each other. Like, that's the trope, right? Like, it's Maximus up there doing his thing. And then, but then, I mean, this is, by the end of this movie, it truly is that movie because he's killed everybody. Well, I guess he ends up dying, though, right?
There, Spoiler. You had the same thing like me. There's a scene near the end where you just wanted James Caan to yell out, "Are you not entertained?"
Yeah, exactly. Right after double knifing someone's head off like he did. Yeah. Oh, I love Gladiator. Let's go watch Gladiator.
My notes. Bartholomew, were you not entertained? Second notes I put.
Hey, did you notice the guy who played the scientist that took him to see Liquid Computer is the guy that played God on Time Bandits?
Right.
Oh, really?
Peter name is Zero, by the way.
And he might be the butler on Arthur that I'm getting confused. I think he might have been.
No, that's Gielgud. You're thinking of John Gielgud.
Oh, am I? All those guys, they're all like, there's a group of those guys, and they're all the same guys.
Wow, that's gonna sound so racist in about 10 years.
Against white British people? Yeah, yes. Totally. here's the thing, though. I love him. So the minute he walked in, because he's the one that came out and said, "All right, let's clean this up," talking to the little people in Time Bandits, and was the nice guy, you know. And he turned Kenny Baker back into a real boy or whatever happened. he's great. I love him. And so when he came on, I kind of got excited. I'm like, "Oh yeah, that guy's like venerable and smart and a good actor and a stage presence." And for 5 minutes, the movie had some acting going on, and then it went back to Houseman going,
"That's it.
Jonathan, you must quit this sport.
You have to earn it.
Nostril hair.
Retire."
But here's the thing I came away from watching Guy from Time Bandits again. If they would have made a proper Lord of the Rings movie in the 70s.
Oh, my gosh.
He would have been the best Gandalf ever. A
really
good Gandalf.
Like, you shall not.
He would have nailed it.
That's interesting. Yeah, like I don't know. I don't know if I can hear Gandalf going, "Corporate society takes care of everything."
Well,
and I can definitely hear him being of anyone.
I can hear him being Dumbledore.
Maybe Dumbledore. Sure, take him over that Gambone guy. It's in there.
No, I love Michael Gambon.
I do too, but not in those movies. I like him in everything else. I like him in what's it called with the cows? I can't think of anything today. My brain. Open range. Holy shite. Love Open Range. All right. Anything else of note from this viewing?
Let's see here. Let's go through
there's
the notes
so
here.
Many things,
before
man.
We do the, before
just
we do
to,
clips.
Like, just imagine all the porn movie titles for the parodies for this movie.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Oh, just imagine.
I'm trying.
It's easy. I mean, because it was pretty much, I mean, was there any shirt during the 70s that wasn't cut down to your belly button, men or women?
Uh-huh.
I mean.
No.
Unzip it right down. Yep. Oh, look at all my chest hair with my weird bald spots right around my nipples.
Can I get some buttons on this shirt? No, because you might be tempted to button it up.
So when was the last time you remember seeing a hot actress from the 70s? When's the last time you met a hot actress where her real name was Maude? When's the last time that happened?
Yeah.
There was
a
lot of attractive 70s actresses.
Sure there were, but nobody named Maude anymore.
Maude is not a name you can call out in passion, you know, the heat of the moment.
No. Nor do you go, "All right, this year's next top model is Maude Franzensen or something."
Well, they'd say it another way, probably.
What?
Maude. I don't know.
They'd make it up.
But I have to admit, Maude in the heat of passion calling out the other person's name, Maude ain't anywhere near as bad as Moon Pie.
Right?
Oh, Moon Pie.
Moon Pie.
Oh, I don't like Moon Pie.
You're so brain dead.
Now, Maude, by the way, Maude Adams, Mrs. Octopussy right there.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. She's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful lady.
Looks better here, I think, than
interesting
in the 80s in Octopussy. I mean, her jaw, like,
how?
Really, really strong jaw developed on her, and it wasn't that ain't plastic surgery. I don't know what that is.
That's just she's got some jaw
bone growth.
She just got a big jaw
showing, I think, is the deal.
Her dad was Jaws, the Jaws guy from the James Bond movies.
They just lost some fat in her face. As you get older, you just don't have it in your face as much.
We've got to watch a James Bond movie for film.
Oh, yeah, we totally
and
do.
It needs to. It needs to be Moonraker. We're stupid if it's not.
We've already talked about it.
Or View to a Kill.
View to a Kill.
It might be Octopussy.
Christopher Walken.
Yeah, what about the
Grace
one where
Jones,
what about
Duran
the one? Yeah, you're getting
all right. You have me at Duran Duran.
Damn it.
Okay, fine. Those are the two I would choose from. But I think,
the one where Pierce Brosnan surfs a tidal wave? I mean, come on.
I got to go classic. I think we have to go Roger.
It's got to be Roger Moore, and it's got to be in space.
Yeah.
The thing is shite. What's the one where the girl has a mustache? That's For Your Eyes Only. Let's not do that one.
Which is also one of my favorites. Yeah.
Is it? That's the one where the guy like Sala on Indiana Jones? He was eating dates all the time. Remember that guy?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And they were in that cliff hideout.
Bad date. it looks like almost all of the Roger Moore ones. So Moonraker, Octopussy, Thunderballs, Sean Connery, Goldeneye, Pierce Brosnan. A lot of these are streaming. So
They put them up for exactly 1 month, and it's always been our complaint that we're not going to watch it because we don't want our audience to miss it. But they keep putting them up for another month and another month.
Well, that's what we should do. Is we should find out the best we can when they're going to hit, and then we do that one quick, and then everyone's got it.
Let's see if Moonraker has an expiration date.
Moonraker.
Does Moonraker have expiration?
Please sing that some more.
I just sang the Moonraker song with the Goldfinger.
To Goldfinger, yeah. Same actress though, or same, not same, same singer.
Goldfinger. That's her, right? Shirley.
Yeah.
She was at the last Oscars up there belting that out.
Shirley Bassey. So Moonraker does not say when it's going to leave. So probably August 30th.
You got it on the YouTube there.
Is it the whole thing?
I'm seeing
for no cost. Movie.
Something
else
minutes.
I want to.
Brian's a great evangelist of the YouTube's free video service.
Yeah, I can't.
I mean, it's totally probably not. It's probably not as legal as Netflix is, but the fact that I've seen some of these movies like Silver Bullet, which we had talked about, it's been on YouTube for like 4 years now. I mean, if Stephen King has a problem with it, why haven't they done something to pull it?
Why not? That's damned.
It's not like it's hidden. You can freaking Google it.
He made all the silver bullet money he's going to make.
Silver bullet, and it's right there on YouTube. It's been there for years.
Is it in parts, or can you see the whole thing in one shot?
The one I had was all together. Well, now, there are parts where you can watch it in parts, but
holy shit.
Right.
All right. Well, let's get
something
to some
clips. Something else I want to remind you guys of is that we were given copies of the Clint Eastwood produced, directed, and starring in film Firefox. From 1982.
Right.
And I'm really looking forward to watching that
movie.
I think that
came from Schnago, if I remember correctly.
It did. You are correct. He gives us cheese curds and Firefox.
Yes, right.
And not Firefox, this browser, everybody. Firefox, the Clint Eastwood airplane movie.
That's right.
All right, clip time. Let's get right to it. We got some clips here. I thought this sounded dirty, so I captured it.
Jonathan jams it in and scores.
There you go.
The whole movie.
Jams it in and scores.
Once you start listening for the porn in this movie, you can't unstop.
Moonraker's going to be sore for weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Here we got Talking to Moon Pie.
But you know what, Moon Pie? You know what those executives dream about out there behind their desks? They dream they're great rollerballers. Yeah. They dream they're Jonathan. They have muscles. They bash in faces.
You know what? I couldn't do this when I was watching it, but now with did I lose you guys?
No, we're here.
We're listening so intently to what you had to say.
Oh my god! I think my Skype just disconnected. listening to it, and I couldn't do it while I was watching it, but just listening to it, I pictured Burl Ives' snowman from the Rankin Bass.
That's pretty good.
That is awesome.
Listen to it again and just do a second or two and imagine
it's
the snowman.
You know what, Moon Pie? You know what those executives dream about?
Oh, totally, with that mustache and the sunglasses. And, yeah. Yes. Oh, that's great, dude.
What's the singer who did the same thing in the movie Elf?
I know who you're saying. It wasn't Burl Ives, though. Burl Ives-like.
Yes. Right. That's a brilliant call.
I can't remember. Here's mumbling a lot. Okay, so here's what... This is basically James Caan throughout the film, who I like, by the way, a lot. I like James Caan, generally. I like his son, Scott Caan.
Oh, yeah.
Who's in that Hawaii Five-0 business. I think he's the best thing in there.
He was actually one of the best things in the last season of Entourage, the last couple seasons.
Yeah, he's great. So anyway, here's him doing some mumbling.
Team is a unit. It plays with certain rhythms.
Oh, my gosh, dude. What in the hell? What were they telling him to do there? It's seriously, it's like listening to, it's, you know, it's like listening to George Lucas mumble in his sleep.
Pretty bad.
Jar Jar reminded me of Jar Jar Binks. Misa shouldn't have put him in the movie. All right. How about do what? I don't know what this is.
Do understand it?
Oh, it's yeah, it's Nostril Man. Let's see. I like this one. Sometimes you just gotta go see Cletus.
You didn't even want me here when you got back.
I gotta go see Cletus.
Wow.
I gotta go see Cletus. Come on.
That's how he deals with his problems. She really confronts him finally. He's gotta confront his feelings. And his answer is, I gotta go see Cletus. Let's see. Fun boxing sounds. I just like these.
It's like he's punching a goat.
It does kind of a little bit, right?
Yeah, what good is that?
None.
They love to put a guy with a big huge bag, and he kills himself against
Boy,
it.
Talk about something that sounds dirty.
Yeah.
Listen to that clip again, and imagine that Scott was clipping porn.
All right, seriously. So here we're clipping some porn. Here we go. All right. Oh wait. Wrong one.
That was better.
I clicked the wrong one. Oh well, it probably worked just as well or better. I like this one. This is Cletus, and I like the sing-songy way he said the following thing.
They were nasty. Whew.
Nasty.
Nasty.
You shall not pass. I like acting that sings. Some of my favorite things. Betsy, this barely even sounds like James Caan. Again, this just, he sounds so young, and I don't know. He was young, but here he is talking to the team.
We like to have you hanging back there on the rail in a fist fight. Just standing there fighting somebody in Section A when you're supposed to be in Section B. I'm coming up to score and you ain't in the section you're supposed to be in. Don't do us no good.
His voice dropped so hard in his older years. Yeah. He sounds nothing like... Go watch freaking Elf. Go watch Elf. Yeah, Elf's a great example.
Oh, man.
Like James Caan in his right. most... you know what he's great in? What's the Vegas one with Nick Cage?
I was just going to say Honeymoon in Vegas.
Yes.
He was great in that.
Great mobster guy in that. That's, you know what? Honeymoon in Vegas, underrated.
Yeah.
And it's even got Horsey
Lady in there. And they're fighting over Sarah Jessica Parker, which is the amazing part.
Yeah, which I don't like her much, but man, I love that movie. It's really good. It's been a while, so maybe I don't know anymore. But let's talk about death blows.
We will review these techniques with special attention to the use of death blows.
Same lecture every year.
Death blows. Hit him behind the ear where the bundle of nerves are.
They did not let that guy off very easy. In fact, they tortured him with what I'm about to play. And I'm going to play all 16 seconds of it because we had to listen to it. So now the listeners do. And I'm sorry to you three to having to listen to it twice. The worst chant ever.
Who's that?
You know what? It started to sound like to me was this.
You see.
After a while. let's see. How about people drunk at the game, or people drunk on the game, rather? These are the rich people who can't get enough.
Well, no, don't go yet. We're showing some replays.
Let's see him.
Oh my gosh, those people.
Oh. Let's see him. I can't wait.
All right. This is, I don't know what this one is.
Very embarrassing.
Oh, all right.
That's what that is.
That's pretty good.
Very embarrassing.
Is that right?
Was that when he was in the Skype multi, the multi call on Skype?
I think so. Where he got to have all eight screens with his face on it for them.
Skype is way better in the future.
Oh my gosh. Wait, except it didn't have any voice. It only had one button. Affirmative buttons.
Negative.
And then one guy at the end looking like he's not sure. He's like, come on, guys. All right, here's God from Time Bandits.
Hello, hello. Yes, it is. The famous Jonathan E. or Hartman E. Sorry, things have been a mess. The rollerball champion.
I still say he could have been an okay Gandalf.
I'll bet you he was looking for some great Poupon in the 70s.
Might have been. Might have, could have been. In real life, not in the commercials.
Right. Commercials, what?
Yeah, what? I don't know what you're talking about. I just want some mustard. I'm in this car and I need some bad. All right, here's some angry acting.
Don't ever say that! I can! You can be stopped!
Oh, Houseman, geez, easy, buddy.
Yeah, he's angry.
Oh my gosh. All right. the computer loses it.
Negative, 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 negative.
I heard a few N-words in there.
Same computer voice that everything else uses, you know, whether it's Lost in Space or...
Does not compute. Negative, right. Negative.
And there's always like a... in the background.
Yes. At least they don't have the... It's
yet another movie where I wanted everybody to get squished, and the computer is no different. But it made me conflicted because I want everybody to die, especially James Caan. And as soon as I got to know this computer, I'm like, oh, I want that computer to die. And then I thought, no, wait, it's got all of human knowledge. Damn it. Yep. I'm conflicted. I can't want it to die.
No, you don't want
but
it
I want it to die.
It's in the 13th century.
Yeah, it doesn't. I was going to say, you missed the 13th century. Wasn't
it's
matter.
Not a big deal, yeah. And then some angry game acting. I don't remember what this is. So, oh, I know what it is. The coach. And he is pissed.
Game! This wasn't meant to be a game! Never!
Never!
I heard narf at the end of that.
Narf.
Seriously,
thanks,
play
Brian.
It again and you'll hear narf.
Let's try it again. See if we hear narf.
Game! This wasn't meant to be a game! Never!
Narf!
Yes. See? Thank you. I'm glad I wasn't crazy.
It's even better to say narf. All right, well, this is from last week, but I just think it's funny.
Piss on your hush puppies.
All right, that's it. That's it for clips. That means we roll straight into this. Is awards. It's time for awards, everybody. Pull up the red carpet. Get out of your limo. Get your ass up there. Take some pictures. Sit down. Ellen DeGeneres on stage. Here you go. Congratulations, I guess, to her. I guess she's hosting again this year. I guess. I don't, is that a right. thing I should care about?
Probably this not. Will be an improvement over Seth MacFarlane, almost certainly.
Yeah, probably. I don't know. I'm torn on that. Anyway.
Classy.
The use of the dumb future drug award goes to this film for those weird Altoids everybody kept
right.
eating.
Altoids. The curiously strong drug.
Right.
Curiously strong.
Alteroids.
Alteroids. There you go. Alteroids. That's not bad.
It was a stretch. It was a stretch. Sorry.
You put the, and then you give it to a sports guy.
I recant.
Maybe it's Alteroids.
From the record.
Best new sport with the fake sports movie, Shooting Trees Till They Burn. I like that. Fake sport. Then let's see. Finally, the most pairs of leather pants in any film ever made award. Everybody who played on that team had leather black freaking sweet pants, hot pants. Mm-hmm. Trek stuff today. Star Trek Connections brought to you by Daryl. These are some good ones. Tony Brubaker. He played Blue, the Houston biker. He was uncredited in this film, but he was a stunt double for Michael Dorn in Insurrection.
Oh, wow.
So that's cool.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Robert Ito. Wasn't he the judge in the...
No, that was Lance Ito.
Was it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Judge Lance Ito.
Oh, it's Judge Lance, not Judge Robert.
The OJ
right.
trial, yes. Yeah.
He was, let's see, strategy coach for the Houston team. On TNG, he played TAC Officer Chang in Coming of Age, and on Voyager, played John Kim in Author. And then finally, John Beck, who played Moon Pie. Deep Space
the
Nine.
Mustache that had a guy stuck to it.
Exactly, that's right. The guy. And he played that thing in every movie, that... tropey dude who's like second toughest on the team, who's gonna get hurt and die,
right?
Or in trouble. In Footloose, it's what's his name's friend. Everybody has this guy. He's the Chewbacca to what's his name's Han Solo. Mm-hmm. Yep. Anyway, DS9, he played Raymond Boone in the second season episode Tribunal, and he voiced the Punisher in the 1990s animated series of Spider-Man. So there you go.
He was also Star Trek. Six, the Undiscovered Country. He was a waiter.
Oh, really?
Uncredited.
Waiter?
Daryl, how'd you miss that one, buddy?
Right. How'd you miss that mustache?
Undiscovered is what it was.
I'll give the soundtrack grade a CC for crappy classical. I don't mind classical music. I just don't like it when they're just being cheap. And I felt like they were being cheap.
Yeah, and it just felt like, cue the Bach.
Mm-hmm.
You know, cue the Tchaikovsky.
This one fits.
You could feel it
like
coming
the,
all the time.
The synthesizery stuff in Clockwork Orange, I think, is done better than this.
Yeah, and I usually hate that, but you're right. There's a weird fit in that movie.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Clockwork Orange still gives me nightmares. That movie's weird. That's the point. I know that's the point, but a thing that was what 68, 69, something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
unbelievably weird for its time. Like nobody made movies like that. It's just
still looks
weird.
Good though.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, here's what I learned. Oh, we're not doing that. Twitter post. Let's sum it up. 140 characters or less. Let's start with Randy. How do you do it?
Rollerball. As Bartholomew said, this game was created to demonstrate the futility of individual effort. As Randy Deluxe said, I just wanted them to all die. Cue the Shostakovich.
Dunaway.
Rollerball. This wasn't meant to be a game. Narf.
Right. Help! Help! My Asian masseur fell on me. Get it off.
Oh, that was weird. Yes,
that was She's weird. So short.
That was so. All these things were like fake Kubrick. They were like garage sale Kubrick.
Exactly. What was that? What was that scene about with her laying on him?
And then, when nobody knows. And him talking to himself. And mumbling
Everybody
to himself.
Everybody else is sleeping because they fell asleep while he was talking an hour and a half ago in this film.
I think it'd be better if he was just saying what was happening. Like, I'm in this place. There's not really a lot going on. My best friend over there fell asleep and this Asian lady fell asleep on him. I think I'm going to set up and lay up on her. Yeah. I think it'll be okay. This is where I'm going to sleep all day.
He's like made of unisom.
He
That's
truly
what,
is.
That's what it comes to.
That's truly true. Let's get over there to Ibbot.
Boy, and Randy and I were so on the same page with this one. Rollerball. Individuality is bad. There. I just saved you 2 hours.
Yeah.
Nice.
Thank you.
That was thematically similar. Let's get on to what I learned while you felt the need to have 8 screens with John Houseman's face on it. In the future, everyone stands, looks really bored, and listens to corporate anthems. Goodness. There's not even a hand thing. Like, no heart. Hand over the heart. No hand in the air. Like, what are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
Boring. James Caan's character was the only character that really tapped or did anything. He was kind of like tapping to the Japanese thing.
He's a masterpiece.
Right, banging his fist against his legs.
He was spanking it? Is that what you're saying?
Masterpiece. Let's see. Future mints will make you loopy. What else? Oh, hey, if you make helicopters sound really weird, maybe people will think they're all futuristic and stuff. I learned that one. And finally, make sure when you go to Japan, get the masseuse that falls asleep on your back. And that's what I learned. When I watch this weird film. All right, let's get to some emails. I want to just mention real quick, Glenn P is a listener of the show. P is short for a longer name. He's recovering from a bunch of health stuff and just wanted to wish him the best. I hope he's doing okay and enjoying the show. And I hope the show helps him with his stuff. I got an email here from Brian from Denver. Not that Brian. Our Brian.
There's another one.
So, hi, guys. Love the recent show on Frighteners, which is one of my favorites because that Ghostbustery vibe and the awesome Jeffrey Combs, don't forget, From Beyond, was in it. Scott was talking about movies that give him the creeps, and right away I thought about The Fourth Kind. This is the one about aliens, generally unseen for the added creep factor, complete with the extended mouths, weird noses, and unnatural body positions. It may not be sackable, but worth a watch if you want to be creeped out. Brian from Denver. Now, I remember this coming out like a couple years ago.
Right.
And it was panned pretty hard by mainstream critics, but a lot of people really liked it. It was kind of half Blair Witch, like documentary style, and half, well, maybe more like, what's the big monster movie I always forget? The J.J. Abrams thing that he produced.
Oh, yeah.
Cloverfield. More like that than anything else. So I still haven't seen it. Maybe that's something. I don't know. I don't want. This is what I'm saying. I don't like those movies where the people's mouths get real big. I don't want to see that. That freaks me out. Or they bend their arms backwards and crawl like spiders.
The super high speed twitchy thing. Yeah.
Don't like that at all.
Yeah. And just any movie, we were talking about this in the comments even. Any movie where you get the orchestra hit really loud, like the assault on your ears suddenly also pisses me off.
Like wall of sound kind of stuff.
Pisses you off.
It does.
Gets so
loud. Why are you so loud?
I want a horror movie to scare me, not upset me. You know, there's a difference.
That's a good point.
Yeah, so all my horror movies need to have cats in them jumping from various locations, please.
Yeah, you like those, don't you?
Making that same sound by cat noise that every film uses.
Time. Yeah, that whole thing. Yes. Hey, Film Sack Crew, says Sean, our final email. Just listened to the Small Soldiers episode and I had a couple of thoughts. Die Hard with a Vengeance is my favorite movie of all time. Really?
Wow, agreeing with the Randy Deluxe there. Wow. All right.
Favorite movie of it's your favorite of the Die Hard series, but not
right. I just
all
said
time.
it was arguably better than the first one.
Yeah,
this person is taking that a few steps further,
saying the best movie ever made. I don't know if I can agree. I don't hold with this, bub, but I do, still think that Die Hard is a better film. It's really close, but I can rewatch Die Hard 3 more than I can rewatch Die Hard, even though the first one is slightly better. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
No,
kind of
that
not.
Doesn't make sense.
Absolutely
no, he just,
does. I mean,
he just said the sequel was best movie of all time, and then he said the first one was a little better. I don't get it.
Versus A Good Time versus
yeah, but he didn't say any of that.
A well-thought-out movie or well.
I always want Brian Dunaway around to interpret people.
I like it. He's filling in the he's filling in the holes. I think it's good. He also says in this email, Toy Story 3 is awesome. So, Brian, maybe you don't want to defend this guy. Take it back.
Forget it.
And since you guys love Gremlins as I do and are looking for something similar, a perfect for Film Sack film might be the Critters films. There are four of them, and any one would be a great choice for the show. Sean, I've thought about Critters, but I have
Critters 2 was the best.
I have no experience with those movies, so I
also think we should watch the Phantasm movies.
Relabeling of Gremlins. That's a different movie?
Yeah, Critters 2 is totally different movie, man. Totally different.
Is it like Troll 2 where it's literally a different story altogether? I'm into that.
I'm trying to remember. I remember seeing Critters and thinking Critters 2. Let me see. Something like that. I remember there was the whole thing too. It was like the part 2 wasn't really related, or maybe it was 3 that wasn't really related.
What was the trend with that? That's a weird trend. They don't do that
anymore.
It was
Troll, Critters, and
they don't do that anymore unless you count the Star Wars prequels.
Well done.
All right, our next film is supposed to be Silver Bullet. Is it still?
That is no longer streaming.
Should we not get it on? We don't want to do the YouTube thing. No. We all decided
it'll be back. What? It'll be back before too long. It'll be back on.
We'll keep it on the list for later.
We're all Netflix.
One of these days, Netflix is going to come through.
I just can't support the same business thing that gave us Annoying Orange and Fred, and I can't watch a movie on that.
Brian's taking a stand here against.
I am really excited about YouTube.
You watch Puppy Cat and Cartoon Hangover and Frederator on YouTube, and you will find entertainment.
He doesn't know what those are.
You're suggesting that I watch those things.
Yeah,
right. I'm telling you, man, I feel like I've gone through everything in Netflix. I really feel like I'm just kind of going, oh, I've seen that.
Oh, then you haven't seen the 18-hour epic documentary on baseball called Baseball by Ken Burns, by one Ken Burns. You should
by
watch that.
By the Ken Burns.
It's an incredible documentary.
So we've gotten hung up on by Silver Bullet, by Jumanji, and so we're going to tentatively plan to follow up this episode next week with Mission Impossible.
We do need to clarify.
Oh yeah, we're taking a break, everybody. 1 week break, last summer break of the breaks. We didn't really do many this year. We've done really well, but we are taking 1 week off next week for family reunions, getting ready for school to start, all that kind of stuff. 1 week off, so the week after next. Oh yeah, Brian will be in Vegas doing that. Like, there's
I'm going mountain climbing with a pair of sunglasses.
Right.
Right. Exactly. We're gonna watch Mission Impossible, Tom Cruise crazy, and his whole nose.
Wait, first movie or the second one?
Mission Impossible.
Damn it! All right.
What?
That's right.
No, I like the John Woo one.
He still has a tooth dead center in this one.
I want to see Emilio or
getting at his, isn't it, his skull shifted one quarter inch to the right.
All right. Spoiler.
Yeah. Okay. Fine. The first one, the Palma one, then. Right. Is that yes. Who made that one? Okay.
All right, yes. Fine. And then other movies we've got on the list coming up: Four Rooms, Tomb Raider, Escape from L.A., The One,
Whoa.
Jet Li,
Whoa.
The One.
Whoa.
Oh, I want to see that.
All right.
Was that his last one? Because he was all like, I'm out.
Yeah, he kept saying he was out, and then he kept coming back.
He's quit martial arts films a few times.
Yeah, and he keeps coming back. So whatever, I call bullcrap.
He's retired like James Caan. Right?
They need to do, you know how they do how actors do these old movies like the Space Rangers one or whatever it was with Clint Eastwood and like
Space Cowboys.
Space Cowboys. You know how that happens? Like all these old actors like get to a certain age and they all get together for like an old guy buddy movie.
Right. Yeah. Right. Indiana Jones, Crystal Skull.
Here's what I'm waiting for: Jet Li, Jackie Chan, Chun Yao Fat. Like all the Hong Kong action heroes, when they're old enough and gray and a little bent over, those guys need to all get together for some kind of that kind of movie, except it's all like, oh, we got to get back to our Hong Kong roots. And there's a bad montage of them training to be fast and good and in shape again. And
like the, yeah, like the seven octogenarian samurai.
Yes.
It could be that.
Yes. It's like that. There's a new one coming out
now. They're going to save a village, but they're all old.
What's the new one where they all go to Vegas? It's crap. Michael Douglas. You know what I'm saying.
I hate those, by the way.
I do too, but listen, the action Hong Kong guys would be really fun. That would be fun. I'd be into that.
Well, I guess they kind of did that with Expendables.
Michelle Yeoh could be in charge of this elite old man group.
Right. That is basically what the Expendables is.
That's true.
Red, I was trying to think of the other one with...
Red with Bruce Willis.
Red, that's another good example. Yes, but there was another one.
Or Red 2.
Oh,
Not bucket list, although that's kind of the same thing.
Yeah, that kind of is. No, I know what you're thinking of.
We've always referred to films made by a bunch of aging actors. What's the one where they all get
motorcycles? Oh, right, Roadhogs.
Roadhogs. True story. I forgot about that.
That's exactly it. This is the genre. This is the genre. But you could turn it on its head because all of these guys could still kick a bad guy to the head, no problem.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It would make that would be an awesome movie. I would watch it over and over. Anyway, Mission Impossible then. That's what it is. That's what we're seeing next time. Again, we're off next week, the week after. Mission Impossible. And then so much more after that. That's going to do it, guys. We're out of here. I want to thank everybody for being here. Thank you, everybody at home, for listening. If you'd like to visit us on the web, you can. We're at filmsack.com. You can email us, filmsack@gmail.com. On Twitter, we can be found at filmsack. Follow us there. Leave us a review on iTunes or all of your favorite podcasting directories. There are others, right?
There are a few.
There are a few. Leave them there. We love reading them. We love seeing how you love the show. And we love your feedback. So keep sending us emails. That will do it for us, for me, for Brian, and for Ren.
Yeah.
We'll see you next time.
Negative.
This podcast is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.